Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that are joining us through other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing everyone on this blessed Sabbath, October 21st, 2023. This is our part two of our review. We are going to review a part one of our part two of our chapter entitled Calvary, chapter 78 of our lesson 393. Welcome, dear brother Tony. We are going to ask our dear brother to bless us again by sharing the tiny tot theme of the hymn entitled Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee, whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are just coming in. We will ask one of the little ones if they would like to open their review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you for the Sabbath words that we're about to learn. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Six days shall I labor, and the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. Six days shall I labor, and the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We are going to take the time to hear all the little blessings that the little one has been in the household. To mommy, daddy, the neighbor, the teacher, You would like to share your testimony, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For mommy's and daddy's little helper and little blessing, I'd like to highlight Haley. I like to highlight Haley because I've always been teaching them that they should always speak up when something isn't going right, and no matter friend, family, or foe, to always make sure that they stand for what is right. And this week, while we were traveling home from school, there was an incident with one of their little classmates, and he purposely did something to her, and he was trying to shield it. And I was just listening to see what was going to be the outcome of the situation, and I was very pleased to see that Haley spoke up, and so the situation could be addressed in a manner that it didn't have to spill over until the next day, but so that it could have been rectified. And I pray that not just in those situations, but in everything, that Haley and Emma and all the little children that are in our midst will continue to stand for truth, stand for principle, to be set apart. Another thing that happened this week, I had been teaching my girls about the flood, because as of late we've been getting a lot of rain, and they get a little bit worried that it's going to be a global flooding. So the Lord impressed upon my heart to bring them into Genesis and to teach them through small illustrations and words that they could understand about what had happened in Noah's story. And so now when they see the rainbow, which we happen to see a beautiful rainbow this week, they were able to connect the dots and say and remember that the Lord has promised, as we see the rainbow, that he will not flood the entire world with water. And so they are able to make the dots and keep that in their memory. And I just wanted to say that's a blessing to me, that as we sit down and teach them these little things, that it may not just die away with just us saying it in the moment, but they will hold it and cherish it in their mind and their hearts. And that's what I'd like to share. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are glorifying God for our dear little Haley, that she was daring to be a Daniel and dare to stand alone. What a blessing. Welcome to all the dear brethren. If there's anybody else among us, family members, that would like to share what the blessings of the little one has been, may you unmute your mic. We have a second chance later in our study where the testimonies are to be shared in case you are gathering your thoughts. This is the review section for chapter 15 at the Passover Supper of a little toddler story, the story about Jesus part 2, and I will hand the mic to our dear brother.
All right, the verse, Bible verse for our lessons are taken from the book of Luke, chapter 22, verses 10, 11, 15, 17, and 18. And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the sea, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. Like I said once before, men in that culture did not carry water very often. So they were easily attracted to the right person. And you shall say to the goodman of the house, that's the owner, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And he, Jesus, took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. A great many people came to Jerusalem at this time, and those who lived in the city were always ready to give a room in their houses for visitors to keep the feast. The Savior told Peter and John that when they had gone into the street, they would meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. Him they were to follow, and they were to go into the house where he went. And they were to say to the goodman of the house, the owner of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? This man would then show them a large upper room furnished for their needs. There they were to prepare the Passover supper. And it all happened just as the Savior had told them that it would. At the Passover supper, the disciples were alone with Jesus. The time they spent with him at these feasts had always been a time of joy, but now he was troubled in spirit. At last he said to them in tones of touching sadness, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. There was sweet wine on the table, and he took a cup of it and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. That's Luke 22:11, 15, 17, and 18, and this is taken from the story of Jesus, page 94 and 95.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Next Sabbath, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled At the Passover Supper in our Tiny Tot lesson book, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place October the 28th, 2023. Now I'm going to hand back the review to our dear brother.
All right. Who did Jesus say Peter and John would meet in the street?
They would meet and carry a man carrying a pitcher of water.
Yes, they would meet a man carrying a pitcher of water.
It would be a man carrying a pitcher of water.
All right. What were they to say to the goodman or the owner of the house?
Where is the guest chamber?
Where is the guest chamber? Yes. Apparently in their homes, they always had big houses, and so there was always a spare room where they could take in guests during the feasts. Apparently they didn't have hotels like we exist today so that people would come and just buy a room. They would move in with some of the people that lived in the city, and those who couldn't find a room, pitched a tent outside on the campground, or out on the hills around Jerusalem. What did Jesus say to the disciples in tones of sadness?
The answer is, with desire, I have desire to eat the Passover with you before I suffer.
Yes, he was letting them know for the last time that he was to suffer. He'd told them many times before that he was going to suffer and die. And here he was the last time telling him. All right. Thank you for listening. Back to you, Rose.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. It's time for a Tiny Tots and parents to learn precious lessons. in God's creation through nature. This is our review for part 47, our water topic, the water of life. And our dear brother, Josh, will be the one to share.
So, blessings, everyone. Here is today's water's lesson. The Water Life Review, Part 47. Our Bible verse is taken from the book of Luke, Chapter 5. Lesson 13, Healings. The verses 21 to 26 say, And went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And looking through nature, the blessings of water. On the picture on the left is a picture of a great blue heron, and on the right is an American lotus. And parent studies from Desire of Ages, pages 257 to 271, and do more research about health. Research health. Jesus in the synagogue spoke of the kingdom he had come to establish and of his mission to set free the captives of Satan. He was interrupted by a shriek of terror. A madman rushed forward from among the people, crying out, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." All was now confusion and alarm, and the attention of the people was diverted, but from cries and his words were unheeded. This was Satan's purpose in leading his victim to the synagogue, but Jesus rebuked the demon, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." When the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. The Desire of Ages, page 255. The man praised God for his deliverance. The eye that had so lately glared with the fire of insanity now beamed with intelligence and overflowed with grateful tears. The people were dumb with amazement. As soon as they recovered speech, they exclaimed one to another, "What is this? A new teaching? With authority, he commanded even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Mark 1:27. The secret cause of the affliction that made this man a fearful spectacle to his friends and a burden to himself was in his own life. He had been fascinated by the pleasures of sin and had thought to make life a grand carnival. He did not dream of becoming a terror to the world and the reproach of his family. He thought his time could be spent in innocent folly, but once in the downward path, his feet rapidly descended. Intemperance and frivolity perverted the noble attributes of his nature, and Satan took absolute control of him. Remorse came too late, but he would if sacrificed wealth and pleasure to regain his lost manhood, he had become helpless in the grasp of the evil. He had placed himself on the enemy's ground and seen it taking possession of all his faculties. The tempter had allured him with many charming presentations. But when once the wretched man was in his power, the fiend became relentless in his cruelty and terribly in his angry visitations. So will be with all who yield to evil. The fascinating pleasure of their early career ends in the darkness of despair or the madness of a ruined soul. Desire of Ages, page 256, prayer. If we do not follow health principles, we will end up like the man in Capernaum. Satan took absolute control of him because he did not follow the health principle of temperance. temperance or self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:23. Intemperance is the poisonous fruit that the presence of an unholy spirit or demon produces. And believe the picture of the man, the unclean spirit says, Satan has no power, Jesus in our hearts. And below says, what is this? A new teaching. With authority, he commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Mark 1:27. And it says above of this picture, intemperance. Could the madman in our lesson have been intemperate in what he ate and drank? Alcohol makes people lose control of themselves and become very unhealthy. For our loving God desires above all things that his children be in health, and that is why he has given us pure water to drink. Water makes us clean inside and out, and by keeping our minds pure it helps to keep Satan out. Continuing our referencing for the water topic of our Tiny Talks lesson review, chapter 26 at Capernaum. Jesus in the synagogue spoke of the kingdom he had to come to establish and his mission to set free the captives of Satan. He was interrupted by a shriek of terror. A madman rushed forward from among the people, crying out, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. All was now, confusion and alarm. The attention of the people was diverted from Christ, and his words were unheeded. This was Satan's purpose in leading his victim to the synagogue. But Jesus rebuked the demon, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. When the devil had thrown him out in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. Desire of Ages, page 255, paragraph 2 and paragraph 3. The mind of this wretched sufferer had been darkened by Satan, but in the Savior's presence, a ray of light had pierced the gloom. He was roused to allow for freedom from Satan's control, but the demon resisted the power of Christ. When the man tried to appeal to Jesus for help, the evil spirit put forth in his mouth, and he cried in an agony of fear. The demoniac partially comprehended that he was in the presence of one who could set him free. But when he tried to come within reach of that mighty hand, another's will held him, another's words found utterance through him. The conflict between the power of Satan and his own desire for freedom was terrible. Desire of Ages, page 255, paragraph 4. Continuing. The secret cause of the affliction that had made this man a fearful spectacle to his friends and a burden to himself was in his own life. He had been fascinated by the pleasures of sin and had thought to make life a grand carnival. He did not dream of becoming a terror to the world and the reproach of his family. He thought this time could be spent in innocent folly, but once in a downward path, his feet rapidly descended. Intemperance and frivolity perverted the noble attributes of his nature, and Satan took absolute control of him. Desire of Ages, page 256, paragraph 3. Remorse came too late, when he would have sacrificed wealth and pleasure to regain his lost manhood. He had become helpless in the grasp of the evil. He had placed himself on the enemy's ground. Satan had taken possession of all his faculties. The tempter had allured him with many charming presentations, but when once the wretched man was in his power, the fiend became relentless in his cruelty and terrible in his angry visitations. So it will be with all who yield to evil. The fascinating pleasure of their early career ends in the darkness of despair of the madness of a ruined soul. Desire of Ages, page 256, paragraph 4. The same evil spirit that tempted Christ in the wilderness and that possessed the maniac of Capernaum controlled the unbelieving Jews. But with them, he assumed an air of piety, speaking to deceive them as to their motives in rejecting the Savior. Their condition was more hopeless than that of the demoniac, but they felt no need of Christ and were therefore held fast under the power of Satan. Desire of Ages, page 256, paragraph 5. So here are a review. You can find the answers in the Bible. Question 1, where did Jesus go to teach? The answer is in Mark 1:21. 2, who disturbed the meeting? Look in Mark 1:23-24. And question 3, what did Jesus do to give him health again? Look for the answer in Mark 1:25-26. I'll return the mic back to my mouth.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And remember, little ones, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by. Welcome to all the dear brethren that are just coming in. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Covered with His Life. You can find it in the hymnal book at number 412, which is 412. If you would like to share the hymn with us, dear one, you can unmute your mic to do so. Look upon Jesus, sinless he, Father, impute his life unto me. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with his life whiter than snow. Cover with his life whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with his life whiter than snow.
Deep are the wounds transgression had made. Red are the stains, my soul is afraid. All to be covered, Jesus, with thee. Save from the law that now judges me. Covered with his life, whiter than snow, fullness of his life, and shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, covered with his life, whiter than snow.
Longing the joy. Go ahead, Tia.
Okay, thanks. Longing the joy of pardon to know, Jesus holds out a road whiter as snow. Lord, I accept it, leaving my own. Gladly I wear thy pure life alone. Covered with his life, whiter than snow. Fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe. Covered with his life, whiter than snow.
Reconciled by his death for my sin, justified by his life pure and clean, sanctified by obeying his word, glorified when returneth my Lord. Cover with his life, whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with his life, whiter than snow. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear family. Welcome to all the precious brethren that are coming in. We would like to ask any one of the elder siblings, Mommy Sadari, so even our guests, to open our review section for our family meeting with prayer. May you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Have a blessing, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. Please protect the word we are about to learn, and please protect the people that are here, the people that are not here, and come back to the Sabbath. Please protect the word that I'm about to learn. Please protect everybody that I know. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much, dear one. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from the Sunlight Sound Studio entitled Behold He Cometh, Memory Verse CD, Revelation chapter 1 verses 5 through 6, also chapter 4 verse 8 through 11 margin.
Unto washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever, forever and forever. Amen.
So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear your questions, your comment, or anything you would like to share with the Remnant family, we're going to take a few minutes to reread part one of our lesson entitled Calvary. I put parte. Sorry, I'm doing two. Part two in our study book, Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Not a few.
Desire. Go ahead, Dave.
Not a few of the women in the crowd that followed the uncondemned to his cruel death. Their attention is fixed upon Jesus. Some of them have seen him before. Some have carried to him their sick and suffering ones. some have themselves been healed. The story of the scenes that have taken place is related. Diary of Ages 742.
Thank you, dear brother. Continuing. They wondered at the hatred of the crowd toward him for whom their own hearts are melting and ready to break. And notwithstanding the action of the maddened throng and the angry words of the priests and rulers, these women give expression to their sympathy. As Jesus falling fainting beneath the cross, they break forth into mournful wailing. The Desire of Ages, page 742, paragraph 4. Amen.
Desire of Ages, pages 742. This was the only thing that attracted Christ's attention. Although full of suffering while bearing the sins of the world, he was not indifferent to the expression of grief. He looked upon these women with tender compassion. They were not believers in him. He knew that they were not lamenting him as one sent from God, but they were moved by feelings of human pity.
The Desire of Ages, page 743. He did not despise their sympathy, but awakened in his heart a deeper sympathy for them. Daughters of Jerusalem, he said, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. From the scene before him, Christ looked forward to the time of Jerusalem's destruction. In that terrible scene, many of those who were now weeping for him were to perish with their children. Desire of Ages, page 743, paragraph 1.
Continue. From the fall of Jerusalem, the thoughts of Jesus passed to a wider judgment. In the destruction of the impenitent city, he saw a symbol of the final destruction to come upon the world. He said, then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry. Next slide, please. Continuing. By the green tree, Jesus represents himself, the innocent redeemer. God suffered his wrath against transgression to fall on the beloved son. Jesus was to be crucified for the sins of men. What suffering then would the sinner bear who continues in sin? All the impenitent and unbelieving will know a sorrow of and misery that language will fail to express. Desire of Ages, page 743, paragraph 2.
The Desire of Ages, page 743. Of the multitude that followed the Savior to Calvary, many had attended him with joyful hosannas and the waving of palm branches as he rode triumphantly into Jerusalem, but not a few who had then shouted his praise because it was popular to do so, now saw the cry of crucify him, crucify him. When Christ rode into Jerusalem, the hopes of the disciples had been raised to the highest pitch. They had pressed close about their master. Next slide, please.
Continuing the reading. Feeling that it was a high honor to be connected with him, now in his humiliation, they followed him at a distance. They were filled with grief and bowed down with disappointed hopes. How were the words of Jesus verified? All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. This is taken from the Desire of Ages, page 743, paragraph 3. Amen.
The Desire of Ages, pages 744. Arriving at the place of execution, the prisoners were bound to the instruments of torture. The two thieves wrestled in the hands of those who placed them on the cross, but Jesus made no resistance. The mother of Jesus, supported by John, the beloved disciple, had followed the steps of her son to Calvary. She had seen him fainting under the burden of the cross and had longed to place a supporting hand beneath his wounded head. Continuing. No, go ahead, please.
No, go dear brother. It's okay. I think three of us came, but we can, I'll defer to you, dear brother Joel.
Continuing, and to bathe that brow which had once been pillowed upon her bosom. But she was not permitted this mournful privilege. With the disciples, she still cherished the hope that Jesus would manifest his power and deliver himself from his enemies. Again, her heart would sink as she recalled the words in which he had foretold the very scenes that were then taking place. And it says at the bottom, we will continue with page 744, paragraph 1, with part 3 of our Calvary lesson.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear Brother Joel. Before we are able to go through our review of the question, we would like to just sing this scripture song before we begin. Let us consider 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version. For sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear. And with that said, what have we learned and ways we have grown? For those that are able to see the screen, I'm going to read out the question. And if you're moved to be able to share with the little ones and their family, you may unmute your mic. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And number six, what did you learn from this lesson? If you would like to take the first one, dear ones, may you unmute your mic.
The answer to number one, who is the main character or characters? Here we saw Jesus, we saw the two thieves, we saw the wailing, the women that were wailing, we saw, his mother mentioned here, but, I would say the main characters were, those, Christ and, the two thieves.
The answer to question two was the main idea for the success of our story. Jesus carrying the cross while foreseeing Jerusalem's future destruction.
The story is taking place on the way to Calvary.
The answer to question four, when did the story begin? It was when the woman in the crowd found Christ to his cruel death. My answer to question 5, how can you relate to the story? Jesus knew about the fate of the non-believers and his sacrifice. His goal in doing that was to save men from sin. But he knew not all the, everyone in Jerusalem or even the whole world would believe the story, seeing what happened. And though that's what he had in mind, to save us all from our sins, both back then and now. A lot of people didn't take it serious, or
who would like to take number 6, dear ones? Maybe you unmute your mic.
One thing I learned from the lesson reinforces the idea that when the wicked are persecuting you for righteousness' sake, that you're not to resist the persecution. The two thieves were resisting all the efforts of the guards to put them on the cross and to put the nails through their hands and feet. But Christ made no resistance. And that in itself was a testimony of Christ fully relying and putting his life in the hands of the Father to rule and overrule in his affair. Whereas the thieves, they were basically putting their life in their own hands. If, you know, in other words, they were trying to resist instead of submit. And that takes a lot of willpower and courage and submission to God to allow those that are persecuting you to carry out their purposes. And that is definitely crucifying the flesh and your desire to save yourself.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else that would like to share what they have learned from this lesson? Meanwhile, I will just touch upon something that I observed. While the wailing women were crying just for the scene, the Lord, even at that very moment, was looking beyond that. Not only was he looking beyond, as in what was going to be the true scene of Jerusalem in the future, but also holding on to how he was going to deliver every human being. By him dying on the cross, he also destroyed the power of the devil. Concerning when a person die, he could no longer keep them captive. For we have a Savior. And besides that, it is so important that I have been learning lately, is that the very thing that you might resist might be your own salvation. Because everything that he has placed in your path, or whatever instrumentality that he may use, just know that it's even deeper than that. As you can see with the scenes, as you can see what really he was trying to do. When we see ourselves in circumstances as painful as it may seem, and what we have to get rid of, or what we have to walk away from, or what we have to leave alone. Let's remember Calvary as a way of strength, because this parts of this particular chapter, and mostly for the past three chapters, it had gave me strength to do things that if I wasn't exposed to these truths, I don't know how I was gonna basically handle it. But I'm so grateful that the Lord has slowed down the reading in a way where I'm not looking at it as an adult. I'm looking at it as a child. And by having a child's eyes, you get to be so attentive to listen to every word that proceeded out of his mouth. And I'm so grateful. And I hope by God's grace that we all would acquire to have that opportunity to really see what the Lord is trying to do to save us. So I just wanted to share that. And if anybody else would like to share, may you unmute your mic. We are going to continue, dear ones. We have shared thoughts and also poem and special music. Our thoughts is taken from a devotional book entitled With God at Dawn, pages 776, paragraph 2 through 4, entitled I Have Ordained You. Our opening scripture is taken from John 15:16, King James, and it reads, You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruits, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? This one is also can be taken from chapter 35, entitled The School of the Hereafter, from the Book of Education.
The life on earth is the beginning of the life in heaven. Education on earth is an initiation into the principles of heaven. The life work here is a training for the life work there. What we now are in character and holy service is a sure foreshadowing of what we shall be.
The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Christ's work below is his work above. Our reward for working with him in this world will be the greater power and wider privilege of working with him in the world to come. Education, page 308, paragraph 1.
In our life here, earthly sin-restricted though it is, the greatest joy and the highest education are in service. And in the future state, untrammeled by the limitations of sinful humanity, continuing, is in service that our greatest joy and our highest education will be found, witnessing, and ever as we witness learning anew the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27, education page 309, paragraph 1.
Our following paragraph is taken from chapter 7, entitled Help in the Gospel Work. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones?
Christ gave no stinted service. He did not measure his work by hours. His time, his heart, his soul, and strength were given to labor for the benefit of humanity. Through weary days he toiled, and through long nights he bent in prayer for grace and endurance, that he might do a larger work. With strong crying and tears, he sent his petitions to heaven, that his human nature might be strengthened, that he might be braced to meet the wily foe in all his deceptive workings. Continuing on the next slide, please. And fortified to fulfill his mission of uplifting humanity. To his workers, he says, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done. And this is taken from John chapter 13, verse 15. And this paragraph was taken from Gospel Workers, page 292, paragraph 4. Amen.
The love of Christ, said Paul, constraineth us, 2 Corinthians 5:14. This was the actuating principle of his conduct. It was his motive power. If ever his ardor in the path of duty flagged for a moment, one glance at the cross caused him to gird up anew the loins of his mind and press forward in the way of self-denial. In his labors for his brethren, he relied much upon the manifestation of infinite love in the sacrifice of Christ with its subduing, constraining power. Gospel Workers, 293, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our poem is entitled Love to Jesus. This is taken from Children Activity Book, Year 3, Quarter 2, from Lesson 12, page 280, from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Number 1. When Jesus Christ was here below and spread his words of love abroad, if I had lived so long ago, I think I should have loved the Lord.
Jesus, who was so very kind, who came to pardon sinful men, who healed the sick and cured the blind, oh, must I not have loved him then?
But where's Jesus? But where is Jesus? Is he dead? Oh no, he lives in heaven above. And blessed are they, the Savior said, who though they have not seen me, love.
He sees us from his throne on high, as well as when on earth he dwells. And when to him our children cry, he feels such love as then he felt.
And if the Lord will grant me grace, much I will love him and adore. But when in heaven I see his face, will be my joy and love him more.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our special music is taken from 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 15, margin. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all that they wish lived, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him unto him which died for them, which died for them and rose again. 14 and 15 of 2 Corinthians 5. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge, that if one die for all, then we're all dead. And he died for all that they wish live, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, which died for them and rose again. 14 and 15 a 2 Corinthians 5. But unto him which died for them, which died for them and rose again. 14 and 15 of 2 Corinthians 5. But unto him which died for them, which died for them and rose again. Amen. If there's any testimony that you would like to share, dear ones, you can take a moment to do so. Otherwise, we can actually hold it when we gather at the end of the meeting, that we may be blessed as well. Well, dear ones, so next week, by God's grace, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled Calvary in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If anyone would like to close with prayer, dear ones, may you unmute your mind to do so.
May we bow our heads and our knees. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father Jesus, we thank you for these lessons as we view the road to Calvary, Lord Jesus. It is very painful and heavy to watch, Father. But help us to know that we are strengthened and that's the direction we should focus our eyes and also our footstep to walk this walk. Bless us this day. Thank you for the participation of all the little ones and their parents. Father Jesus, continue to be with us. Continue to bless us. Continue to keep our minds stayed on you. Be with us as we move to the second section of the studies. Bless us and keep us. Be with the speaker. Bless her and keep her. And strengthen her prayer. Thank you, Lord, again for all your mercies. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So by God's grace, next Sabbath will be our lesson 394 from our chapter 78 entitled Calvary. And that will be part 3 of our study. And that will be held October 28, 2023. We are going to share our dear sister Joan's garden. Here we have the California poppy. And if your dear brother or sister, can you tell me the pronunciation of this particular flower next to it? It's called Calanqueo. I'm not sure. Can somebody correct me and be able to share the name of this beautiful flower?
It's pronounced Calanqueo.
Thank you so much, Calanqueo. So enjoy your nature walk, dear ones. I know sometimes it's kind of cold, but whatever your eyes behold in nature, share it with us so we can know what the Lord has brought to your sight or smell. Well, we have come to the ending of our study dear ones, and leaving the scripture and also the margin of a paragraph on the spirit of prophecy from the book Step to Christ, page 69, paragraph 1. The scripture is taken from the book of Psalms 16, verse 8 from the King James Version, and it reads, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. On the margin of the Step to Christ, our growth in grace, our joy, our usefulness, all depends upon our union with Christ. It is by communion with him, daily, hourly, by abiding in him, that we are to grow in grace. He is not only the author, but the finisher of our faith. It is Christ first and last and always. He is to be with us, not only at the beginning and at the end of our course, but at every step of the way. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. And we are going to have a few minutes just to change everything. God bless.